this is just a man thing, but we macho men in West Virginia, at least, maybe not city slickers, but we in West Virginia, we take pride in being able to identify different creatures. Like, for instance, John, when you saw that black coyote there, you know, it's like, wow. And we're driving down the road, something goes darts across the road. Well, that's a squirrel. Yeah. Do you see that? Even after dark, that was a possum. We almost got him, you know. And we said, well, that's a fox because his tail sticks. I mean, that's the right color. So we take pride in identifying wildlife, right? Would y'all agree with that for the most part? Well, let me tell you, not to scare you or anything, but there's some weird creature coming up the hill. When you come up the hill, about halfway up the hill or a little bit further up, I saw it one day. Amy saw it another day. It's not the right color for a groundhog, but it just kind of darts real fast. It's kind of like auburn color, and it goes down a hole or a pipe or something. We're not sure. So don't be afraid. But there's something out there, and it bugs me that I haven't figured out what it is yet. And you know, the same thing with sounds. We take pride, men, in knowing our sounds, right? Well, that's coyotes howling off far in the distance. You know, well, that's an owl, or that's some creature there. That's a cricket. Those are peepers or whatever. Peepers are a new term for me. How many of you grew up calling those spring frogs peepers? I remember, see, I'm from southern West Virginia. We don't call them peepers. I think we just call them frogs. I don't know. We don't have much, maybe don't have much creativity down there. I don't know. But I remember Amy the first time saying, have y'all heard the peepers yet? My dad was like, huh? Peepers? What in the world are you talking about, girl? But so we like to identify even sounds that are made, right? And out there in the country in Doddridge County, one night, this was before the boys came home over spring break, Amy heard this weird noise. She was up later than me. And so she's like, what in the world is that sound? And she opened the door because I'm sure the reason she had the boldness to do that, because she knew that I was in the house, one macho dude, and I could take care of it if something would jump in the house. But she took her phone out there and started recording the sound of that. She played it back later and played it to all the family. Well, I have no clue what it is. It's a weird noise. Unless it's that mink that we saw there recently. I mentioned to you, we saw a mink there around the house. But it bugs me when I can't figure out what something is or I can't figure out the sound of something. We're talking about today basically the sight and the sounds of the rapture. The sights and the sounds of the rapture. Now, I don't want this thing to come up on us and you say, whoa, what's that? Now, it's going to happen quick. You probably won't have time to be too dumbfounded by it. It'll probably happen so quick. But we're going to talk about, what can we expect in the rapture of the church? Now, we're in this series. This is part two. We're talking about the Lord's return for the church in the rapture, what we call the rapture of the church. And we're going to be turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're primarily just staying in this passage. The title of the message in particular, the series, The Lord is Coming Back Soon to Get His Children in the Rapture, specifically today. So what will the rapture look and sound like? I want to know that. Don't you want to know what's going to happen in the rapture? Don't you want to know what sounds we're going to hear? If that's you today and you want to know or want to know a little bit more, perk up. Listen up, sit up, stay awake, and God will speak to your heart today, I'm sure, in this message. Last week we talked about, so what should we be doing? The Lord's coming back in the rapture soon. We looked at, we do not know when the rapture will be. It can happen at any time. It's the next thing on God's timetable, and it is imminent, which means there's nothing that has to happen before it happens. Secondly, last week we looked at, therefore we should take heed or listen up. And be in an active mode, not a sleeping mode. Thirdly, therefore, we should watch. We should look alive, we should be on guard, and we should be alert. Number four from last week, therefore, we should pray, asking God for some last-minute instructions. Fifthly, therefore, we should work. We should work. If there's ever a time that a child of God ought to be working, it's right now. I mean, the Lord, I believe the Lord is going to come back before I leave this world. Now, I could be wrong. Now, when I'm in the casket, don't come around and say, preacher, you said you'd be, you know, it won't matter to me anyway. I'll already be home. But I'm saying it would not surprise me if the Lord comes back before I leave this world. Therefore, if there's ever a time that we Christians ought to be working, it's today. Number six from last week, the point was Jesus will come suddenly. And then last point, sleeping on Jesus is unacceptable. Sleeping on Jesus is unacceptable. And I guarantee you, this is not my opinion as a conservative pastor. I'm sure it's the opinion of most conservative pastors. We have a lot of Christians who are sleeping. I mean, they're just kind of like dozing off and just kind of half-hearted doing, serving the Lord. But sleeping on Jesus is unacceptable. Today, so what will the rapture look and sound like? Let me read these verses and then we'll talk about it, all right? Verse 13 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. This is Paul writing to a church, okay, the Thessalonian church. Obviously, there was some confusion in that church about what happens when someone dies as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus in this New Testament era, this church age in which we live. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's speaking of someone who passed on as a Christian. A lot of times the Bible says sleep to refer to the death of a Christian. You know, I know a lot of people pass away. You know, that person passed away. I'm trying to very consciously, because I've said that before, but I'm very consciously trying to get away from that term because they're not passing away. That sounds like they just go, poof, where'd they go? They're gone forever, you know, into the ground or something. That's really not the case. Now, they might pass and they might die from physically this world. Their soul and spirit lives on. But when it says concerning them which are asleep, it's talking about folks that have passed on as a Christian. It says that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who died in Jesus, physically died in Jesus, will God bring with him? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, a few things before we get into the points of the message. First of all, the word rapture. The word rapture is not found in the Bible. Now, we use that term. It's actually a Latin word, rapturo, which means to be caught up. Which means to be caught up. And although that word is not used, it's a very good description of what's going to happen to the Christians whenever Jesus comes back in the cloud at the rapture. We are caught up to be with him, right? And rather than just as Christians trying to, you know that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 we're talking about, and you know, when Jesus comes in the clouds, we just say rapture. And we know, that's a good term, we know what that's talking about, right? So the rapture, the word rapture means to be caught up, but it's not found in the Bible. But I think it's a very good word to describe what's going to happen to the Christian when the Lord comes back in the clouds. Second thing I want to mention, in the Bible, this passage right here is the clearest passage on the rapture of the church found anywhere in Scripture. This is the clearest passage. Now, I realize that you may not enjoy memorizing. I understand that. And I understand that the Bible's a big book. But I also understand that we Christians ought to have at least some good idea on some of these big passages, really. And so I really think that you should be able to commit to memory. If you don't even remember the verse, you'll figure it out when you start reading it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, rapture of the church. Actually, I want you to say that with me. We're going to say 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture of the church. Are you ready? Can we do that together? All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture of the church. One more time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture of the church. Because if this is really big to us, and it really should be big to us, and if this really is the next thing on God's time schedule, I think it's a pretty good idea to have a pretty good concept about where that's found in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, point number one in this, verse 13. Point number one today, as we look at the Lord is coming back soon to get his children in the rapture. So what will the rapture look and sound like? Point number one, two things a Christian should not experience when another Christian dies physically. In that verse, if you think about it, I'll say it again. Two things a Christian should not experience when another Christian dies physically. Now, we've had a lot of people pass from our church. Y'all agree with that? And I'm sure that you've had folks in your family that have passed. Now, if they knew Jesus as Savior, now don't misunderstand me, okay? There is no way that you can lose a loved one or someone that you care about as a human and not have some sadness in your heart. Because we're going to miss them. Because they fill a void somewhere in our life, whether we know them well or a little bit. And I miss the people that have passed on from our church. I miss them. I miss seeing them. I miss their input. I miss their enthusiasm and their energy. I miss all of that. And that's totally natural. But two things that we ought not feel whenever someone who's a Christian passes to be with Jesus, goes on to be with Jesus, is found in that. It says, but I would not have you to be what? Ignorant, brethren. Number one, when someone passes, don't be ignorant. We don't need to be, what an ignoramus? Is that what some people use? We don't need to be an ignoramus. All right? Now, there was some question in the church about what happens when people, you don't have to be that way. All you need to do is listen real close today and believe your Bible. And we're like, where'd they go? I don't know. You don't have to say that. Number one thing we don't have to experience when a loved one who knows Jesus, I'm choosing my words very carefully, when a loved one who knows Jesus, we don't have to throw up our hands and wonder where they went to. We know. So we don't have to be ignorant. That's one of the two things we don't have to experience. The second thing we don't have to experience, if someone who knows Jesus passes on, we don't have to experience sorrow like the lost world. Notice what it says. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, talking to Christians, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died with Jesus in their heart, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, if there's a word that I would use to describe what I have in Jesus and what a Christian has in Jesus being born again, it's hope. So when someone knows Jesus and they pass on, guess what? We don't have to say, oh, you know, really. I mean, we're sad humanly. But when they pass, we know where they are. So we don't have to sorrow like, oh, I'd just love to talk to them one more time. Well, if you know Jesus and they know Jesus, you'll get to talk to them again. Right? And I've noticed a difference between those who pass who are saved and their families who are saved and those who are lost, perhaps. I mean, we don't know what happened at the last moment. In a lot of cases like that, we hope and pray that maybe they didn't know Jesus in his world, but the last minute they called out to Jesus in salvation in their last breath. We can have that little bit of hope. But for that family that does not know Jesus, there's a difference in the way they mourn. I mean, really. For a Christian, it's like, farewell. And for the lost, they're like, oh, goodbye, I'm never going to see you again. You know, it's all, And again, I don't blame them for that, but I encourage you as a Christian, we don't have to grieve that way. Two things we don't have to experience. When we have a loved one that passes on, or a friend that passes on that knows Jesus, we don't have to be ignorant and say, where'd they go? And we don't have to mourn and be sorrowful like the world has no hope. Because hope in the Christian life, it's one of those things that's kind of unfortunate the way we translate that word hope in English. It's kind of like, well, I hope so. But in the Bible, hope means something that's sure and steadfast and certain. And because we know Jesus, and that person knew Jesus as well in this world, we know we'll see them again in heaven, right? Come on, this is a little bit better news than you guys are treating it, all right? This is a little bit better news than that. Point number one. Two things a Christian should not experience when another Christian dies physically: ignorance or sorrow, the way that the lost has. You know, it says, even as others which have no hope. Even as others who have no hope. Can I tell you today, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you have no hope. You don't have that assurance. You don't have that certainty of going to heaven. But we're in this age of grace right now, this church age, where you can accept Jesus as your Savior. It's not rocket science, folks. It's not. I was an engineer and I worked on a rocket. One of my projects was a fin on a rocket. It's kind of cool. Don't remember a whole lot about it. But I guess that's as close to rocket science as I ever got. But it's not rocket science, okay? It's simple. It's so simple. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever, that's you, believeth in him, that means from your heart, shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here today and you say, I kind of like hope, I just don't know. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Now, I know sometimes we get discouraged as Christians. I'm not insinuating we don't. But if you really want true, abiding, eternal hope, it's only found in Jesus. And I'd encourage you today, I know of no better place, no better time than when we sing the invitation at the end of the sermon. Don't get excited, I'm not done yet. But whenever we do sing that song, I know of no better place, no better time than today or right here for you to come and accept Jesus. He'll give you hope on the inside. The world gives you disappointment. Even friends give you disappointment many times, right? Jobs give you disappointment, right? Can I tell you something that never disappoints but only gives hope? That's Jesus. And you find that when you trust him as your Savior. We're talking about, so what will the rapture look and sound like? First of all, two things a Christian should not experience when another Christian dies physically: ignorance and sorrow, as the world does. Number two facts that we can trust. Look at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now that's pretty relevant because we're real close to a holiday that we celebrate. It's called what? Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Why? Because we believe that Jesus resurrected back to life. If he didn't resurrect back to life, we might as well just pack her up and go home. Forget the Easter egg hunt. I'll just go sit in a recliner. Because we don't have good news. We're all just going to die and that's the end of it. But because Jesus resurrected back to life. But listen to how authoritative he puts it to say, guess what? The rapture's true too. Listen. That verse says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see what he's saying there? He says, just as trustworthy as the resurrection is, God's going to bring those that have gone on before with him in the clouds. Specifically, Jesus is coming back in the clouds. Right? Now, let me clarify in case you're like, I'm a little confused here. All right. When someone dies as a Christian, we lay the body in the ground, right? The old tent, the old tabernacle. But you know what? The Bible talks about, there's really three parts to a person. There's body, soul, and spirit. Now, when a person breathes their last as a Christian, their body is laid down, and it will return to dust. But the soul and spirit, if they're a Christian, goes to be with Jesus. The Bible says to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. So their soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord in heaven. And it says just as real as the resurrection, Jesus is going to bring the soul and spirit of those that have gone on before in the clouds, in the air. Everybody still with me? All right. Two things a Christian should not experience when another Christian dies physically. Number two, two facts that we can trust. Jesus' death and resurrection, equally as factual is the rapture of the church, which is started with Jesus coming back in the air, in the clouds, with the soul and the spirit of those that have gone on before. He even says in verse 15, first part of that verse, Paul, as he writes, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord." Wow. What more authority can there be than the word of the Lord? Now, he's under the direction of the Holy Spirit as he writes these very words down, right? But maybe he revealed it to him even another way. Remember, he was an apostle, and he said, maybe whispered in his ear, showed him another, said, hey, this rapture thing is real. Listen, if you know Jesus, this ought to excite you. If you know Jesus and this don't excite you, you're not ready for the rapture. What can we learn? Two facts that we can trust. First, we looked at two things a Christian should not experience when another Christian dies. Number three, two groups of people that will be involved in the rapture. Two groups of people that will be involved in the rapture. Notice what it says. For verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep." All right, so the Lord's coming back. It happened at any time. On this earth is going to be people that are Christians who know Jesus as their Savior, but they're still living. Group number one. Group number two, those that have gone on before, their soul and spirit is already with Jesus. He brings them back in the clouds. And then all this transpires. They'll get their new body. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And as we go up, we'll get our brand new body too. And it will be an immortal body. So two groups. You see the two groups that are mentioned here? I'm voting for the rapture. I'd rather meet Jesus in the rapture than in death. But either way, it's good. Rapture of the church. What are we going to hear? What are we going to see? Two things a Christian should not experience when another Christian dies. They should not experience ignorance nor sorrow as the world does. Two facts that you can trust: the resurrection of Jesus and that the rapture is real. Third point, number three, two groups of people that will be involved: those that are saved, living on the earth, and those that are saved and already with Jesus, with their soul and spirit. Point number four. One Savior, Jesus in the clouds. One Savior, Jesus in the clouds. Now, if you look down, it says, "For this we say in verse 15, unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." It just talks about the coming of the Lord, right? It says that God's going to bring those that sleep in Jesus. He's going to bring with him. But notice in verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." So we need to be looking up, don't you think? We need to be looking up because Jesus is coming back. And if you look down to verse 17, it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." All right? So there's one Savior, Jesus, in the clouds. We need to be looking up because Jesus, now this picture, okay? We're trying to learn more and more about the rapture. What does that mean? Jesus is coming. He's descending down into the clouds. He has the soul and spirits of those that have died with Jesus as their Savior in this church age with him. But they don't have their bodies. They're just in spirit and soul form, okay? In the clouds. The other group is we that are Christians on the earth, okay? Everybody got that? Everybody still with me on that? We're actually almost finished, believe it or not. Point number five, three sounds that we will hear at the rapture. Three sounds that we will hear at the rapture. Three sounds. You ready? Look at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, what? With a shout. Second sound, with the voice of the archangel. The only one who's mentioned as an archangel in Scripture is Michael in Jude in verse 9. And then it says the third sound, and with the trump of God. And it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So you got those three sounds? Because you better be listening. If you're a child of God, I think you'll hear them. That's why I say quite often, is that the trumpet I hear? Three sounds. Now, how are these intertwined? We don't exactly know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. We don't exactly know. We're not sure who's going to shout. But some way, the voice of the archangel, we don't know what the voice of the archangel is going to say. And we're not exactly sure who's playing the trumpet, okay? But those three sounds are going to be there. There's going to be a shout. And I wouldn't, this is just me. I wouldn't doubt if that's not God himself shouting. Maybe shouting, go get him! And here comes Jesus in the cloud. It says there's a shout, then it says there's a voice of the archangel. So the archangel's going to say something. I don't know. Maybe some of the rotten rascals I see with my eyes right now, he says, behave yourself. I don't know. That's a joke. You know, I don't know what he's going to say, but the voice of the archangel is going to say something. And then there's a trumpet that's going to sound. And we that know Jesus are out of here. Isn't that good? Three sounds. Three sounds. Point number six. There's one order of events. Only one order of events. It says in verse 16 at the latter part of the verse, and the dead in Christ shall rise, what? First. Then it goes on to verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. With them in the clouds. So you say, preacher, kind of give me an order of service. You know, every Sunday morning I do an order of service, and I try to distribute it to the piano player. That's my favorite person in the church, by the way. But I try to make sure that she gets one. Sometimes I forget, but I give her one. I give Angela on the balcony one, and one to sound and up there. See, who else gets one? I keep one, and there's usually one over here on the announcement side. Then it pretty much lays out what's going to happen, the order of service. Can I tell you that there's an order of service, if you will, in the rapture? And I'll just simply tell you what it is, all right? Some of it I've said already, but we'll just spell it out real clearly. At some point, Jesus is coming back in the clouds. He's bringing with him the soul and the spirit of those that have gone on before. And they're stopping at the clouds. They're stopping at the clouds. That's pretty big if you're distinguishing the different comings of the Lord. And this is the rapture. He stays in the clouds. All right? And then it says there's three sounds, right? Shout, voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. And then it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. So now I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your brain. Are you ready to have your brain blown? In some way, God is going to collect the bodies of those that have gone on before. The graves are going to burst open. And I know there's some things I can't explain. I said, what happened about, you know, they've been dead for a long, long time, and there's nothing, a little bit of dust, and these people got blown up, and these people were lost at sea. And I just know God's a big God. And the graves are going to burst open, and in some way, God's going to give those that have gone on before that know Jesus as Savior, they've just got their soul and spirit now, But after the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get a brand new body. That's going to be quite an experience down here on earth for those that don't know Jesus, don't you figure? They're like, wow, look at that graveyard over there. And again, I cannot explain how that's going to happen. But when it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, that's what it's talking about. And they're going to get a brand new body in the clouds. And so that body, it's a different body. If you want to look at that, we may look at that in this series. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about what kind of body it is. It's an incorruptible, immortal body. It's not going to die. It's not going to get gray. It's not going to get cancer. It's not going to have aches and pains. It's forever and ever. And they're going to get that body. And then, boom, shakalaka, it's good for them. But what about for us? And this is going to happen quick. Then we're caught up to be with the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm scared to death of heights. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. But as we go up to be with Jesus and those that have gone on before, they've got their brand new body, their soul and spirit, all back together again, but it's a brand new body. We're going to go up to be with them. And as we go up, we're going to be changed. We are going to be changed and get that brand new body. I think I probably need to change my analogy. I've said I'm going to have an Arnold Schwarzenegger body. And some of the younger people are going, who? Isn't he old? How about the Arnold Schwarzenegger of old body? You know, as we go up, brand new body, and our soul and spirit's still here, right? So as we go up, we get a brand new body. You got body, soul, spirit. We're with them in the clouds. I like that order of service, don't you? I'm all right that he busts the graves open first, gets them their new body. But as I go up, I'm going to get a brand new body too. That does not get old, does not get gray, does not get tired. I'm thankful for that. That's the order of service according to the Bible. Two more quick points and I'm done. There's one grand forever. One grand forever. Look at the words there. End of verse 17. It says, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that good? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It doesn't say, and we'll be with the Lord for 10 years. No. It doesn't say, and we'll be with the Lord for a million years. No. We'll be with the Lord for a billion years. Nope. You know what we'd be doing? We'd be fretting about the billion years being over. But this says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Our forever is with the Lord. Aren't you excited? That could happen today. If you know Jesus as Savior, it could happen today and we'd be forever with the Lord. There's no better place to be than with the Lord. Y'all agree with that? Let me repeat the points one more time, and then we've got one last point. First of all, we're talking about the Lord is coming back soon to get his children in the rapture. So what will the rapture look and sound like? Two things a Christian should not experience when another Christian dies physically: ignorance nor sorrow like the world. Second, two facts that we can trust. We can trust the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we can trust the rapture. It's coming. Third, two groups of people that be involved in the rapture: the living saved and the asleep saved, or those that have gone on before. Number four, one Savior, Jesus, in the clouds. Number five, three sounds that we'll hear at the rapture: a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The order of service, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. One grand forever is number seven. And so shall we ever be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Last point, one comforting truth. One comforting truth. After it describes all that, look at what it says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, isn't the Word of God amazing? Do you realize that the hope and the reality of the rapture should encourage our hearts today? It should. Because the Lord's coming back. I don't know about you, but sometimes life gets a bit tough. Life gets a bit challenging. But guess what? I know what's coming. Did you notice that Paul kept using the pronoun we? Notice it says, verse 17, and he uses it another place or two. For if we believe, verse 14, it says, verse 15, for that we which are alive and remain. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain. Paul thought it was going to happen in his lifetime. That's 2,000 years ago. We're 2,000 years closer. And as I say, we're probably about an hour closer than when I took over, 45 minutes or so, right? But that ought to give us encouragement that our Lord hasn't forgotten us, that our Lord is in control of this whole universe. And when he comes back in the rapture, whether I meet him by death or meet him in the rapture, it's all good. And I tell you, when we experience the loss of a loved one or a friend, if they know Jesus, it's okay. We miss them, absolutely. But we know confidently, according to the Word of God, that they're in the presence of Jesus. That's really, really good news. If you would bow your head and close your eyes, I think I'm going to have a really strange invitation today. I'm just going to ask you to do something. I don't think I'm going to have a sing or anything. I'm just going to ask you to do something. Let me ask you, first of all, if you're here today, is there anyone here today that would have to say, you know, preacher, I am not saved. I have never trusted Jesus as my Savior. Or you may be here today and say, I'm just really not sure. Would you like to do something about that today? You know, this rapture that we're talking about of the church, if you don't know Jesus, you are left behind. And if you want to do some reading on what it's going to be like when you're left behind, read in the book of Revelation and all the plagues and the wrath of God poured upon the earth. But right now, in this age of grace, which could end at any moment, it ends when Jesus comes back. Do you know, you can come down the aisle and mean it from your heart and say, preacher, I want to be saved. And before you leave this building, you can know that you're saved. And if the rapture could come or should come in the next day or two or in the next few minutes, you would be with Jesus. I'll put it this way. I don't want anyone to go through the tribulation period. You say, preacher, can people get saved in the tribulation period? I really personally believe that they can, according to the Bible. I believe they can, but they'll do so and lose their life because they'll not take the mark of the beast on their forehead or their hand, and you will lose your life. Why not trust Jesus right now? There's no promise of tomorrow, really. Why not trust him today? Is there anyone today? Step out of their seat right now and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to nail that down. I want to know that if the rapture happens today, I'm ready. I want to know that if I breathe my last today, I'm ready. Anyone have the boldness to step out? Say, preacher, I want to be saved. This is serious, serious stuff. Okay, let me talk to you Christians that know Jesus. You say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Let me ask you, are you looking forward to the rapture of the church? Are you looking forward to being with Jesus? Now, I realize I would like to do this on this earth before that. I'd like to do this. I'd like to have my first car. I'd like to, you know, get married. I'd like to have kids. I understand that. But are you looking forward to the rapture of the church? If not, why not? Is it because you're not doing what you know to do is right? Is it that you're not doing your best for the Lord? There has to be a reason why you're not looking forward to being with Jesus. You see, part of what happens, I really believe, right after the rapture, the first thing that happens after the rapture of the church is the judgment seat of Christ, where we as Christians give an account of our life. It's not whether we're saved or not, but it's how we've served the Lord. So I know a lot of Christians, I really believe a lot of Christians say, well, that rapture stuff, that's pretty good stuff, but I'd just as soon it not happen today. Why not? Because I'm not serving the Lord the way I should. I'd have to give an answer for why. Can I encourage you today, if God is speaking to your heart today about any area in your life that you'd be embarrassed to talk to Jesus about at the judgment seat of Christ, would you step out of your seat right now and come to the altar and talk to God? Maybe as you come to the altar as a Christian, you'd say, Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, help me to be more focused. It may not be open rebellion, but you just may not be doing your best. You're just like, eh. Eh, I tell you, when the Lord's coming back at any moment, it ought not be, eh, it ought to be, man, I need to be at it. Is God speaking to your heart? Would you step out, nobody looking around, would you step out and come to the altar and talk to the Lord about that? You know, one thing I want to remind you, I'm not going to answer for you, and you're not going to answer for me, but we're going to answer for ourselves. So is God talking to you about anything right now that you need to get right with Him as someone who knows Jesus as their Savior? If you're there today and you say, well, I really need to talk to the Lord. I really need to do business with the Lord. I think the ideal would be come to the altar, but I'll give you a few moments. If God is speaking to your heart right where you're sitting right now, would you talk to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever He's telling you, if there's something that needs to go out of your life, say, Lord, help me get that out of my life. If there's something that needs to come into your life, say, Lord, help me to get that in my life. Maybe say, Lord, help me to give my best, knowing that You could come back at any moment. Would you ask the Lord that in the silence of the moment? Dear Heavenly Father, how we praise You and thank You, Lord, for what Jesus did for us. And we thank You for Your Bible, that we don't want to sit back and say, I wonder what's next. Lord, we can know what's next. Lord, it's Jesus coming back to get His Christians, to take the church home. Lord, help us to look forward to that. Help us to be anticipating that, Lord, by giving our best to You, Lord. I pray that You'll help us to, from this point forward, if You're speaking to our hearts, Lord, we'll obey. And Lord, we'll do the best we can in the time we have left in this world. Lord, we thank You for Jesus. And if there's one here that's not sure they're saved, I pray that even before they leave today, Lord, they'll just get that settled. They'll talk to me and say, Preacher, I want to talk about this. Thank You, Lord, for the encouragement and the comfort. And Lord, help us as Christians to take encouragement and comfort from this passage from the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name.